Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
Bibles, want to turn to Mark chapter 4. We'll start in verse 35. It says, "In the same day when the even was come, Jesus says unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. When they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? And I want to preach this message today, when the storm meets the word. When the storm meets the word. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you today for your goodness and mercy. Lord, for watching over us and being so mindful of us. We thank you for the presence that we feel in this house today. God, I just pray that you'll open our hearts to receive the word of God today. Let us hear what the Spirit is saying. Let us bring us comfort and strength today. And help me for just a little while to bring words to your people, God. We just ask these things in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. Would you clap your hands one more time to the Lord this morning? God's good. We're so thankful for him today. You may be seated. God bless you in Jesus' name. I'm thankful for the word of God. The scripture says we live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It's our life. Gives us direction and instruction. Gives us comfort and peace. Brings revelation. One writer said the entrance of his word gives light. It brings revelation and illumination. One man said, I esteem the words of your mouth, Lord, more than my necessary food. It's more than the food that I eat. That's how important your word is unto me. One of the most important things concerning his word, I would say, would be this, is where it tells us that we are born again, not of corruptible seed, but by incorruptible, the word of God. I'm thankful today to be born again by the word of God. If you have sin and things going on in your life, the scripture says, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. Friend, we're not going to get by without the word of God. We need it. It's forever settled in heaven. The Lord said that heaven and earth could pass away, but his word would not pass away. We can trust on the word of God. It has endured for ages. For eternity, and will continue into eternity. It's going to take us into eternity. And I'm thankful today for the Word of God. Aren't you glad for God's Word today? Come on, you're going to tell me that you've never, on this walk with God, you've never been going through something and pulled that Bible out and flipped it open and the Holy Ghost just put your eyes right on a scripture and the Lord said, that's for you. Man, I'm telling you, you find your strength, you find your help in this word today. And God never intended us to walk without direction or walk without comfort or walk without knowledge, walk without hope, and especially never to walk without faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. Yeah? That's the word. And when we read this story about these disciples, these 12 that have been following Jesus in the way, he makes a statement to them in this scripture, but when you read this story, you take it as a whole, You see that there is a plan that God has for His people. You see a possible destroyer of that plan, but then you see the resolution. This event is framed and finished by God's Word. It started because of His Word. He said, "Let us pass over unto the other side." That's what He said. And when the storm begins to rage, we should be able to remember, hey, God said, "Let us pass over to the other side." That's what Jesus said. I wish sometimes we could remember. I know it's easy. We get in the midst of trouble, and trouble is all we can see. Sometimes we get in the midst of trials and tests, and we can't remember what to pray or what to say or what to do. And all we can see is the trouble that's going on around us. But if we could remember the Scripture, if we could remember what God has said in His Word, friend, it would bring us peace and it would bring us comfort. You have to remember, He said, "Let us pass over unto the other side." I'll tell you what God didn't say. He didn't say, "Let us pass away." He didn't say, "I'm going to pass over." He didn't say, "You pass over." He said, "Let us pass over." And on this journey across this water, you need to know whatever comes, that means I'm going to be with you. Whatever happens between the time I tell you where we're going and we get there, I'm going with you. Whatever happens from the time you wake up to the time you go to bed, He's going to be with you. From the time you start this walk with Him until He calls you home one day, He's going to be walking with you. He's going to walk with you in the valleys. He's going to walk with you on the mountaintop. He's going to be with you in the desert places. He's going to be with you in the night seasons, and He's going to be with you in the storm. He's going to be with you. I'm thankful for His Word. It sounds kind of simple, but if I can just remember what He said and I can have faith in what He said, it goes a long way to ease my discomfort. It goes a long way to squashing my fear and gives me faith and births faith inside of me. When they are in the middle of this storm, it begins to rage. The Scripture says, "There rose a great storm of wind. The waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And He was in the hinder part of the ship asleep." They're all talking about what's about to happen. They're all worried and frantic and maybe even crying out because of the water that's now beginning to pour in the boat. Not just a little bit. It says that the boat was now full of water. There's a miracle right before their eyes. How does a boat that's full of water not sink? If it's full of water, why is it still floating? Because He said, "Let us go over to the other side." But Jesus is not saying anything. We think maybe it would have been a lot easier on me if you had just, as soon as you felt the wind pick up, if you'd have stepped on out here and said, "Wind, behave." It'd have been a lot easier before it got bad if you would have stepped in and said, "Calm down." Before the first splash of water came over the rail, if you'd have said, "All right, see, none of that." It would have helped us out a lot, Lord. But don't believe that just because He's silent, don't confuse that with that He doesn't care. See, immediately they thought, well, He's not answering. He's not saying anything. He's not doing anything. We better wake Him up. And don't you care that we're about to perish? You can't let His silence stop you from understanding what's going on. The Lord will stay silent sometimes because He doesn't have to repeat Himself every 5 minutes. His Word's established. We've talked about Noah before, how that He gave Noah instruction to build an ark, and there's no recorded word to Noah again during the entire building period of this ark. No checking in with you, Noah, how's it going? Hey, you're doing a good job, Noah, just keep building. Nothing. No drop of rain, no anything, nothing. Just a word that He gave him about 75 years prior, hey, start building an ark. And then finally, when it's time to go in, the Lord says, "It's time to get in. I got to shut the door." But God was faithful to His Word, and so is He here. But sometimes God's going to be quiet for a while to see how you handle what's about to go on. You've got to understand that this your storm, the things that you're going through. And I'm preaching on this today because I'm the pastor. And because I know several people in our church right now that are in the midst of a storm. It might be their health, it might be their jobs, it might be relationships, it is a lot of different things. But I'm telling you, you're in a storm, but God knows right where you're at. And the storm's going to teach you about Him, and it's going to teach you about you. It's going to show God what you think about Him, and it's going to show what you think about yourself. It's going to teach you some things. Where is my faith? When did I stop believing? I rejoiced and shouted over during the good times, but as soon as the wind started blowing, I started not believing. I started crying out and acting like God didn't care anymore and that God wasn't listening anymore just because He wasn't saying anything. I don't have to repeat myself. We're on the journey. We're going to the other side. I don't need to wake up halfway and say, oh, by the way, we're going to the other side. You can handle the storm as long as He's with you. You hear what I'm saying? No matter what you're going through today, just trust God. He started you out with this. He started you on this journey. He is the one that made the plan. There is nothing in creation. There is nothing that can stop the plan of God once it gets in motion. I know it's hard when He's silent, but His silence doesn't mean He's absent. His silence doesn't mean He's not looking or listening. Jesus talked about the other side. He had a plan for Him and His disciples. And we could quote this familiar scripture, Jeremiah 29:11. The Lord said, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end." That's all contained in this story. It's all in this story. I have a plan for you. I know what I'm thinking about. We're going. Let us go over to the other side. That's where we're going to wind up. We're not going to go down to the bottom of the sea. We're not going to shipwreck somewhere else. We're going to the other side because my word is infallible. It's impossible for me to lie. The promises of God are in Him, yea, and in Him, amen. I need somebody to hear me today. I know it's easy just to see the waves. It's easy just to see the wind right now. It's easy to see the storm that's raging all around you. But remember who you trust. Remember who you serve. The scripture said, when I'm overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Remember who's on your side. God will not forsake you. God will not leave you out. God is going to finish what He started, and God will get you to the other side. Praise God. When you read the very beginning, I said it, the scripture says that the Lord is the author and the finisher of our faith. The beginning of this story starts with His word. Let us go to the other side, and it ends with His word. When I read the beginning, it wasn't one of the disciples that said, let us go to the other side. Because we can say something and then change our mind. But when the Lord says, let us go to the other side, friend, He started this boat ride. He's the one that suggested it. And so He's not going to destroy you with His plan. The plan may test your faith. And the plan might test your commitment. But it will make you better. It's not His will. You know, they ask Him, don't you care that we perish? But we know in the scripture it declares it's not His will that any perish. There are going to be some storms on the way to the other side. We're headed to the other side. We're headed to a place that He's prepared for us and wants us to go. That's what He told them in John 14. I'm going away to prepare a place for you, that where I am you can be also. If it weren't so, I would have told you. If that wasn't true, I would tell you that. But I'm going away to prepare that place so I can come again, receive you unto myself, and you can be with me. There's somewhere else we're going. God's got a plan for us, and He intends. He wants us to get there. He's expecting us. He's expecting us. He wants us to get there. And on this journey, during this walk and during this ride and all these things, however you want to say it, during this race, there are going to be storms. There are going to be trials of your faith. There are going to be times when God is silent, but it never means that He has left you. It never means that He has forsaken you. It doesn't mean that you've missed God somehow. Just keep going. The first word The first word he spoke, it don't change. He can remember. You just remember what God said to you, how God said you would make it, how God said I'll get you there, how God said I will provide, how God said I'll take you through it. Friend, just remember what the Lord said. I know that today that seems like, oh, you know, the world we live in today is pretty advanced. Hey, you're just going to say, believe the word of a God I can't even see? That's what faith is. Believing in something I can't see. Knowing that he's there. Friend, I've come too far for anybody to tell me he's not real. I've experienced what God can do. On this journey, I've been living for the Lord 33, 34 years now. I know what it's like to wonder, God, what's going on? But I've seen him come through time and time again. He has never been untrue to his word, and I've never seen him be untrue to his people. The psalmist said, I have never seen the righteous forsaken, and I've never seen his seed begging bread. But I had, you've heard me preach this before. He said, I've never seen him forsaken, but I have seen him hurt. I have seen him sick. I have seen him lied on. I've seen him depressed. I've seen him stressed. I've seen him hungry. I've seen him in all kinds of situations, but I have never seen him forsaken. Never seen him without God. Never seen him without hope. Never seen him without help. God has always come through. And God didn't bring you this far. And God didn't open that door for you for it to be slammed in your face or slammed on your foot. Let me tell you, God will get you through. You're right where you need to be. Though the storm rage and the winds blow, friend, let me tell you, you're right where you're supposed to be. God ordained it, God ordered it, and God will get you through. You're not here by accident. You're not in this house today by accident. God ordains every service. Sometimes we think, well, I just happened. Well, you didn't just happen, nothing. There are no coincidences with God. God orders our steps. The drawing of the Spirit brings us close to him so we can hear the word that he wants us to hear today. We go on to the other side. Jesus said, in the world you'll have tribulation, but don't let that tribulation cause you to forget the word that he spoke. In the book of Revelation, he said, I saw a group of people. I said, who are these? He said, these are the ones that came out of great tribulation. God got them through it. God got them out of it. God is expecting us one day. But I believe on this time, on this earth, that he believes and he expects his children to trust their Father. We've got to trust God. We trust him with so many things, but we got to trust him with us. We got to trust him with our life. We trust him when we pray for other people. We trust him for other people's situations. But when will we start trusting God with us? When will we finally let go of the reins? When will we finally say, I'll walk in your word. I'll believe you. I'll trust you. When are we just finally going to let God be God in our life? When are we just going to finally let him be the Lord of our life? I read it earlier, said that the ship was full. And sometimes our ship, it gets full. This ship was full of water. It was full of fear. And it was full of worry. And it was full of stress and confusion and questions and doubt. It was full of a lot of things. It was full of everything that could and should sink them. It was full of everything that should just stop their progress making it to the other side. But there was something else in the boat. There was someone. There was the one. It was also full of him. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He fills the heavens and the earth. There's no place that he's not. And that boat was not only full of all that doubt and all that, but it was full of him. It was full of the one who is greater than every storm and every trouble that this world can produce. It was full of the Savior, the King of Kings, the Deliverer, the Comforter, the Prince of Peace. It was full of the one who created the winds and the wave. It was full of help. It was full of hope. It was full of power. Come on, somebody. Sometimes all we see is the negative, and we don't realize that I've got everything I need. How many miracles had they already witnessed as they walked with him? And now they're afraid of the wind and the water. Sometimes we forget that he can do anything. Sometimes we forget that there's nothing too hard for the Lord. Sometimes we forget that Jesus is paying attention to what we're going through. Praise God. In Psalm chapter 46, verse 1 through 3, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Just keep rolling. Though the waters roar and be troubled, and though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. That, think about that. Paul, take pause for a second and think about what he just said. Everything can fall into the sea, but God is with us. God's going to be with us. God's going to take care of us. God's going to make sure we're okay. Go to the next verse. Be still and know that I am God. He doesn't need another answer beside that. There's no other explanation needed. He said, just be still and know that I am God. He said, I'm going to be exalted among the heathen and I'm going to be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Pause and think about that. Think about who is on your side. Just before you lose it, just take a breath and think about who's got you in the palm of his hand. Think about who is ordering your steps in his word. That's what the scripture says, that the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. God orders our word, our steps by his word. And when he told these disciples, let us go over to the other side, there was really no reason to wake him up. They never should have went and bothered him. That boat was not going to go down. They could have rowed the storm out all the way to the other side because Jesus was going to get them there. Let us go over to the other side. Isaiah 41 and 10, the Lord said, fear not, for I am with thee. Don't be dismayed, for I am thy God. See, he doesn't need any other explanation than that. I am your God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. That's what he's going to do. And these disciples that were so fear-stricken, when they finally woke him up, it says in verse 39 of Mark chapter 4, that Jesus arose and he rebuked the wind and he said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And that's where I get the title for this message today. When the storm meets the word, it will always lose. It never wins. The storm is never greater than the word. Never greater than the word. And he was the word made flesh. Not just the word he spoke, but he was the word made flesh that dwelt among us. And when the storm meets the word, it always loses. Nahum 1 and 3 says that the Lord has his way in the whirlwind and in the storm. God was having his way in the storm. The enemy wasn't about to destroy them. It was their own fear, their own flesh, their own faithlessness that was causing all the disturbance. Because it was nothing but nature happening that day. Jesus had already put the plan in motion and nothing could stop it. The Lord has his way in the whirlwind and in the storm. When you find yourself in the midst of that storm, just remember, God is doing something in my life. God is showing me who he is. God is showing me that I can get through things. God is showing me that I can trust him. And God is showing me that I just need to have faith. The water that they thought that was about to sink them was made passable. You don't have to change paths. You don't have to jump ship. Just keep going with the Lord like he said. Because the water that looked like was going to sink them was now smooth sailing. The Lord can change it with just a word. And sometimes all you've got to do is read a word and it can calm your mind and calm your spirit. It can build your faith. And friend, you can walk on the very things that were going to drown you. That's all Peter needed was a word to step out of the boat. Lord, if that's you out there on the water, bid me to come. Jesus said one word, come. He didn't give him instructions. Step out like this. Walk like this. This is what you got to do when you're on water. He just simply said, come. And there was enough faith in that one word that Peter could step out of a boat and his feet could stand on top of the water and he could walk through the midst of the waves. Let me tell you, friend, when you can trust the word, you can walk on it. When you can trust the word, you can get through it. And when you can trust the word, he'll get you to the other side. He said, how is it that you're so fearful and how is it that you have no faith? That's a question, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. They heard the word. Let us go over to the other side. That's why they got in the boat. Did you forget why you got in the boat? Have you forgotten why you said, I'll go with you? You heard him, what he said. You heard the plan, and it was what you wanted. You heard him when you prayed. You heard him as you were sleeping. You heard him during a service. You heard him somewhere tell you, this is what I'm going to do. And then you started going. Friend, that ain't changed. The only thing that might change is us, whether we believe anymore what we heard God say. Do we still believe what he promised? Do we still believe he can do what he said he'll do? Because they heard him say, let us go over to the other side. It got them in the boat. Somewhere along the way, the storm caused them to doubt. Somewhere along the way, the raging sea caused them to not believe they were going to make it anymore. But all they needed was that master to stand up and say, peace, be still. They just needed to hear a word. That's what I told you. The beginning of this story is his word, and so is the end of it. He started the journey, and then he calmed the sea. It's always going to be his word. Your life is going to be framed in between those words. Praise God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word, and he is the author and finisher of our faith. It is his word that frames our life. Don't let the storms of life drown out the word of God in your life. Friend, more than any time ever, go to that word when you're struggling, when you are upset, when you are sad, when things are going wrong, when things are going sideways. Look to the word. Go to the scripture. Find out what it says. Read about trials and tests. Read about all the things that it says he can do. Friend, let me tell you, when you do, you're going to read things like, don't rejoice against me. Rejoice not against me, O my enemy, for when I fall, I shall arise. Oh, I'm going to get up? Yeah. Or you might read, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. He didn't say it wouldn't be formed. He didn't say it would even come after you. He just said it won't prosper. Though a good man fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the hand of the Lord holds him up. Over and over again, time and time again, it's just victory, victory, victory. Thanks be to God that gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Friend, we are a victorious people. I don't have to fight for victory. Victory's already been declared. Victory's already been given. Praise God. And if I can believe that, then the storms, yeah, if I can believe that, just let the wind blow. One psalmist said, I've hid his word in my heart that I might not sin against him. And a lot of people think, well, that just, you get the word in your heart so you won't lie, cheat, steal, drink, cuss, whatever. And that's true, because the word will teach you how to behave and how to live your life. But when you hide the word in your heart, it keeps you from being faithless. You'll never have to hear the Lord go, how is it that you have no faith? When you hide the word in your heart, now, why is that important? Because the scripture says, whatever is not faith is sin. I don't want sin in my life. I don't want to do the things of the world that are sin, but I don't want to do the things that are of the church that would be a sin. And faithlessness is ascribed to those that should be having faith. So I don't want him to ever look at me and say, hey, man, how come you're not having any faith? I never want that to happen. I want to trust him above it all. I want to make sure that I have faith in what he is doing. Praise God. In Psalm 119, 49 and 50, it said, remember the word unto thy servant upon which you have caused me to hope. There is hope in his word. As long as there's this word, and it'll always be here. It's forever settled. Again, it's an eternal word. We have hope like an anchor for the soul. We always have hope because we always have the word. He said, this is my comfort in my affliction. It's amazing to me that so many people want to live for God without his word. They don't listen to preaching. They don't read his word. They don't spend time in it. They don't study it. They don't pray it. They just, you know, they go to a church and they sit and they, but they have no interest in the word. How do you live like that? He said, the word is my comfort, for your word has quickened me. And that word quicken means to live or revive or to keep, leave, or make alive. The word of God will give you life. It'll bring you out. It'll revive you when you feel like you're about to go under. The word will revive you. He said in verse 92, unless your law had been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. In other words, unless your word had been my delight, then I would have perished. I have no hope. I have nothing to hang my hat on. It's not going to work. Verse 98 says, Lord, through your commandments, you have made me wiser than my enemy. The word of God will let you know that, you know, scripture says we're not ignorant of our enemy's devices. But you learn about that through the word. You learn about what will come against you in the word. You learn about all those enemies that come against us. And most of all, the enemy of your flesh that's going to fight you tooth and nail. The scripture says that our flesh and our carnal mind is enmity with God. And it can't be subject to God. It's just always fighting the things of the Spirit. But that's why we pray in the Spirit, building ourselves up on our most holy faith, so that we can believe God in the hard times. Anybody can believe God when the sun's shining and it's just a cool summer breeze. Man, you're floating on the lake having a good time. But man, when that water takes you up and drops you down, that's when you got to start trusting in God. The troubles and enemies are always present, but with his word, we have the upper hand. We have the word of God. You know, the Apostle Paul was on a ship, and they got into a great storm, and the ship was about to be destroyed. And Paul walks out into the middle of all these people, these men that have sailed boats, and they know what it's like. They know when a ship's in trouble, and they're throwing everything overboard. They're trying to lighten the ship, trying to save it by any means possible. And finally, Paul walks out and says, be of good cheer. These people, they've been fasting for like 3 days. They had taken no food. They were scared. They were going to die. They all thought they were going to perish. And Paul said, hey, be of good cheer. What? Oh, yeah, the angel of the Lord stood by me this night. Whose I am. I belong to the Lord. And he told me, there's not going to be no loss of life. So just be of good cheer. They're soaking wet. They're starving. They're scared. Cold. It's dark. The ship's tossing them all over the place. They're trying to hold on to stuff to listen to what Paul's saying. And there's Paul just going, hey, be happy about this. Now, they're not happy about the storm, but he said, you can be of good cheer. Your worst fears are not going to be realized. There will be no loss of life in this boat. We are going to lose the ship, but we're not going to lose a single soul in all of them. The ship did shipwreck, but they all were cast on a certain island, it said, and they all survived. Just like God said. So no one, and Paul told him, said, man, quit starving yourself. Take something to eat. Get you a bite of food, because we got some work to do. So you can trust God. Trust the word of God. God's going to get you through it. Be of good cheer. It was because of the word that was spoken to him that he had comfort. I need the musicians to come this morning. When Jesus was walking on this earth, he told us about part of his mission of being here and what he would do for us when trouble comes. In John 10:10, he said, the thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Yeah. Steal, kill, and destroy, that's storm stuff. And so Jesus went ahead and let us know these things will happen. But I've already come. I'm here. The thief is going to come, but I am come. I'm already here. When it starts, I'm here. In the middle of it, I'm here. And at the end, I'll be here. And when I'm done, you'll have life and life more abundantly. Abundantly, beyond what you've known, beyond this mess. Sometimes we think this mess is going to be all, that's all our life will ever be. But he said, you'll have life beyond your trouble. Don't ever think that you've just got to stay in your trouble. Don't ever think you just got to stay in your mistake, that it's going to always haunt me. He said, no, there's life beyond what came to steal, kill, or destroy your walk with God. There's life past that. So let it go. Just let that go and rejoice in the life that Jesus gives. Praise the Lord.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.